This evening, just to get you ready, I hope you brought a pen and a notebook. I always love to learn, and you learn by memory and writing and taking things down, and especially Bible verses. But tonight we're going to look at chapter 7 and probably 8, though I'm ready for chapter 9. I'm not going to do that until next Wednesday, the Lord willing. And this is called the beginning of judgment. We looked at the seals, the scroll, and as the seals were opened up, we saw these pictures. One was a leader, the next was war and famine, the next was death and hell, the next, and on and on. Now we're past that. We know that judgment is coming, and that's where you and I are in the world today. We can see it coming. Then chapter 7 begins, and as they take that sixth seal, the last thing that we see in chapter 6 was all the rich men, the poor men, all the kings, and those of world influence, everyone of every caste, every strata in their country were hiding in the mountains, in the rocks, in the dens, crying out to them, fall upon us. Otherwise, we want to commit suicide by you falling on us and keep us from the wrath of the Lamb of God, he who sits upon the throne. Now that's interesting because they recognize God. His judgment has come, they said. So they were already pre-told that judgment would come to us. And they still have such hard hearts. Instead of saying, God, please forgive me of my sin, they'd rather die and go into outer darkness for eternity. So that's where we left off. Now we're going to start seeing the Lord say, okay, my church is gone. They're up in heaven, as we looked at chapter 4 and chapter 5. And now we're going to see the horribleness of the judgment, which is only the beginning of the horribleness, because the devil is going to incarnate a man who's going to be, we know him as the Antichrist. He's going to be real human. Somebody's going to assassinate him, but he's going to come back alive. He's going to have Zechariah, the prophet, mentions him. He's mentioned several places in the Bible. His right arm will be withered, and his right eye will be gone. And this guy is going to have the devil living in him. And he's going to have all the power that the devil is in control of. And everybody's going to be turned from God. So you can understand why God's judgment is so strong. The interesting thing about it is I saw this time, and I've mentioned this to you several times. For some reason, I see things I've never seen ever before. And this happened again this week as I studied this last week, and I prepared it again today. And I love it. So it tells me something good about you, that your futures are going to be good because you're being used to inspire an old dog. And look at that and I say, why didn't I ever see that before? And it's because you have ministered to me the last 8 weeks. And I go back telling people about you, wherever I am. And you're in the right place at the right time. Something good's happening in your life. So always honor your mother and father. Honor those that are in authority and pray for them. And life will be easier. And just go through honoring people and being flexible in your heart to turn right when you hear him say turn right or turn left or stop and let the train go by. Just let him control your life. So you do that by learning how he thinks, how he walks and talks with people by reading the Bible. And then you memorize and your mind gets healed and then all the junk goes away and you're a brand new person. You're like a little boy, a little girl starting all over again. And God will honor you. And I sense for all of us together, this has been a special time. I'll be sad when our time is up, but I just want to encourage you that good things are coming all your way. And you cannot forget where they've come from. The Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. And God is not the author of confusion. So he will teach you when something gets hyped up, just forget about it. Walk away. You don't need it. So one of the things I want to get across at least twice, if not three or four times tonight, is how God speaks without saying anything. Now, I've known this for decades. I've been in situations where without God there, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. And I've seen him just move mountains, in a sense. And so what I'd like to point out is a couple of things that we'll see in the midst of this tribulation, that God will start you thinking differently. You're a new creature. There's no way that you can protect yourself. There's no way you can defend yourself. There's no way you can change yourself. It's an impossibility. You're a human being. But with God, all things are possible. And for that which is impossible for man, the Bible says, is not impossible with God. So you're going to forget about that old nature. And you're going to forget about who you used to be and what got you in trouble and what hurt you and how you hurt others with your mouth, maybe just a sharp tongue. I don't know about the rest of it, the fighting and all that, but I can imagine. I've talked to some of you, and I'm ready anytime you are. So I just want you to listen, because there might be a time that we can't come together and teach. And you can't learn, but you can learn, like I've showed you the last 2 or 3 weeks, about the guitar talking to the violin talking to the guitar, one man's heart speaking to another person over here, her heart speaking back to him, motivating him just through the music, and how that when you start talking to each other, that's when revival happens in your heart. But we're talking about 340 million Americans that need forgiveness, right? All right. So, Lord Jesus, may you bless us tonight in your presence as you teach us. And may you fill us with your Holy Spirit. And may you use us, that we never go by a day of being selfish and self-centered, but that we give our life to you to find somebody that's hurting, that needs encouragement, and needs love from you. Help us to go way beyond ourselves into your arms, and let us just be a great blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, many of you have heard of Franklin Graham. Franklin has a brother, Ned. Ned and I have been friends, and Franklin and I, for many, many years. And Mr. and Mrs. Graham and their family have been very kind to me. And I was speaking with Ned the other day, and I said something to him. I have it on my phone, but I won't take time for that. I wrote it down. I said, something about the past. When the past is all gone, we don't need to worry about that. And he says, you know, when Jesus is standing behind me, I don't care how well somebody says I can see through you, because they see Jesus back there. And I thought, that's the thing about the past. He's got us back there. And he's taking care of the future, and he's taking care of the left and the right and the up and the down, and we just get to be little boys and girls, happy. So we have a daughter, in-law. She's from Korea, and she and our son got married, one of our sons, and little Pearl is 2 years old, just basically. She got off the plane on last Saturday afternoon, and she has been singing until yesterday morning, when she got back on the plane to go back to Nashville. And I watched this, and she's bilingual, so she sings in Korean, and then she'll sing the same song in English. And I watched her, and I thought, what is it about this little girl? Why is she so happy about Jesus? And this, it's the music that turns her on to sing these songs that her daddy produces for children. It's called Listener Kids. And she knows all the animal characters from the series. She knows all of their dance movements. At 2 years old, she's doing little shuffles, and she did a shimmy, and it's just the cutest thing to see. And then I realized, here we are, older now, and we get wounded in life. From the time we're little boys and girls, I think in many of our lives, wounding comes to us. And we get a veneer over us, and we get hard-hearted as we get older, and we close off to anybody getting to really know us. And I realized she has none of those defenses. She's got a mother and a father that love her, that pray for her, that provide a very nice living space for her. She has need of nothing, and she can speak in more than one language, and she definitely eats in more than one language. And she just is happy. That's how Jesus made us. What happens in being a human and growing up and becoming, all right, you want to, you know, I mean, it's so silly, isn't it? that we should just be tender-hearted men and women. So that's what I'm aiming at these past 7 or 8 weeks with you. Get that tender heart and let it be used to bring power from heaven into the world around you. So in chapter 7, we will look at this. It's a fairly short chapter, I think 17 verses. And then chapter 8 is 13 verses. And we'll try to come through these two. I'll do an overview for this so that you get ready for what happens when chapter 9 comes and that which follows. But it's not very pretty. After these things, now make a note, this is a key to the book of Revelation. Whenever you see after these things or hereafter, it's the word, Greek word, meta tauta, which literally means in sequence. So when you open up chapter 1 and you go all the way to chapter 2, he's revealing things to you in sequence. So that makes it really simple. You are, okay, so after these things, well, in chapter 6, you think in your mind, you look in your notes, oh, that's where the scroll was and nobody could take the scroll. But then Jesus stood up in heaven and all the people that were on the earth are singing, for thou art worthy, your blood has redeemed us from every nation, kindred, and tongue. So now your mind is thinking. And the more your mind thinks about Scripture, the stronger you become as a person. Because it etches itself, and the more you read it into your brain cells, into the heart of your very soul, you become a person that now has an ability to realize this is only a body. I've got a spirit that lives inside of it. A body, a soul, and a spirit. So you feed your soul the Word of God. Your body, you stay healthy, keep in shape, exercise, need a good diet. And then the real you comes through. This is only a vehicle. Paul the Apostle called it a tent. And you won't die. Jesus has already died for you. You'll move to a new address. And you'll get this new body that'll be brighter than the sun. And when we see Jerry Brown coming through heaven, we have to go like this. He's so bright. After these things, so we're going in sequence now. What happens after the scroll with the seven seals? Six of them have been opened. There's a seventh waiting to be opened. So in sequence, I saw four angels. Okay, we've been seeing a lot of angels, haven't we? Four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Now, if you took that at face value, you'd say, this is stupid. The earth would have to be flat to have four corners. But the Marine Corps, the United States Marine Corps, advertises for young men and women to join the Marines and serve on the four corners of the earth. So we know it's a figure of speech. It's not a square or a box. We know that. There are people that have the flat earth. Even with all the satellites, they have that. They preach it. They talk it. Oh, my goodness. So four angels. So I want you to notice this. Four. There were more in heaven. There were more on earth. And I want you to get aware that God has a kingdom walking right around us. Their faces behold the face of the Lord for the little children that God assigned them to. You probably had an angel when you were a kid. And I know in foster care, there are mornings I'd wake up just crying and wonder why I didn't have a dad or a mom. And I'm sure there were angels that came and comforted me as a little boy. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the, look at what they're doing, holding the four winds of the earth. And why? That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, this is the thing about being taught. He's teaching math right here. Four angels. He's teaching philosophy. What is the reason we're doing what we're doing? Well, we're doing it so that the winds won't blow in specific areas. And God wants your mind to be so healthy that you focus on who you are, where I am, forget about where you've been, take the experience and learn from it, but where are you headed? What's your focus? Now, their job is holding the four winds so they don't blow across the oceans or across the ground or against the trees. Now, stop and think of that. Have you ever, maybe as a kid even, tried to catch the wind or to hold the wind in your hands? There's no way. But they have supernatural powers. We've got the upper hand in this spiritual battle. It's already been won by our commander-in-chief. So don't believe the lies of the devil that you are nothing, you are nobody. You failed. You're going to pay for this. Don't give me that God stuff. And he just comes at you all day and all night. Forget all that. You're a brand new person. Jesus took the nails in his hands, the spear in his side, the nails in his feet, the crown of thorns on his head for you. He took the beating on his face for you. He took the beating on his back for you. And if you can't appreciate that, you're probably not a believer. It just thrills me. I'm sorry he did all that for me. I look at you and I think, I wouldn't do it for any of you. Just looking at you. But then I think when he said on the cross, Father, forgive them. I've always known what I would say. If it were me on that cross instead of you, I'd say, Father, nuke them all. Just scorch the earth with them. We don't need these people. But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Just say it yourself. He loves me. Yeah, he does. Yeah. Don't ever forget that. No matter how low you can go backwards, don't go backwards, but he loves you. And I want you to notice they have a conversation at the corners of the four earth. As we know it today, there is a creature on each corner. He's getting ready to stop the wind. Wow. Then I saw another singular. All right? So here comes the math. Four angels, one angel, five angels. Simple. I saw another angel. Now look what he's doing. He's ascending. Now he's making your mind think. Ascending and descending. What's the difference? I forget. Descending is going that way down and ascending is going up. They're standing there and this guy is coming up. And notice how specific. He's ascending from the east. Isn't that interesting? So now your mind is thinking compass. You're seeing north, south, east, west. These things just happen. And all of our lives until we got liberated in the spirit by God's forgiveness, we listened to people tell us things that south was really north, east is really west, up is down, and down is up. And we went to their parties with them, and we drank what they gave us, and we smoked what they gave us, and all of a sudden we became one of them and walked in life with a blur, and we broke a lot of hearts and had our hearts broken many times. He wants to teach you how to hear without words. You can look a person in the eyeball and see right through them. Don't ever think if a police officer stops you that you're smarter than them. Because they may be dumb, but when their gift clicks in that God gave them, there's a saying in law enforcement, if their lips are moving, they're lying. They expect that you're going to lie to them. Well, I wasn't really speeding. My speedometer said, well, I wasn't. They've heard every lie in the book. Well, it wasn't me, officer. Look. I remember arresting a guy one night, had his pants down around his ankles. I had a female officer that I was riding with that night, and she says, oh boy, this is going to be a good one. I said, what are we up to? And said, okay, well, there's a guy with his pants off exposing himself at a Vaughn supermarket. Oh, great. We find the guy in the parking lot, and we're talking to him. He acts like he's normal. He's obviously not normal, so I'm not going to see his hands go anywhere but stay right where they are. And so she says, we're looking for this man, and she perfectly describes him. Color of hair, how tall, weight, what he was wearing. And he said, no, I've not seen anybody like that. I'm looking at him thinking, how do you think lying is going to get you anywhere? And I said, you haven't? Well, this guy, one thing in common with you, we're told that he's with his pants off. And you're in a major supermarket here. You're the only guy with your pants off. Well, I haven't seen anybody else around here. My point, exactly. You're under arrest. So you want to listen. You want to look. You want to realize when God is working in your life, there's something going on related to him and her and God. And you're the only one on the four corners to talk to him. You start seeing life completely differently. And you get consumed with loving people that God loves that nobody else loves. The unlovely people. The unloving people. And the unlovable people. I know none of us have ever been one of those, but you know what I'm saying. Okay? He loves us. I saw another single angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Having the seal of the living God. And he cried. Now think of this. One angel is going to talk to four angels on different parts of the planet. He cried loudly. See, there's something none of us could do. I mean, you say hello to somebody and they don't hear you sometimes, and they're right in front of you walking up, hey, I need to talk to you. And they're gone. Imagine now, this is something, it's not normal to us. And that's what happens when you get faith. The normal isn't the norm anymore. God is way beyond us. But he's a gentleman. He'll never twist your arm. He'll never bully. He'll never push or coerce you. He will invite you, or he'll ask you, or he'll give you a command. You make the decision. But don't let people do this to you anymore. You honor your mother and father. The Bible says it's the only verse in the Bible that promises you to live a long life. Pray for those in authority. Romans 13, the Living Bible says, the police officer is an ordained minister of God. That's what it says in the paraphrase. But what does that mean? He says, to strike fear into the hearts of the bad people and to give hope to the hearts of the good people. Wow, so I'm going to respect that system that God has. So I tell police officers when I'm speaking to them that you're an ordained minister. I'm an ordained minister. You carry a gun, though. I carry the sword. And this one has more power. But use that one wisely. So the single one is ascending from the east, having the seal of God. He cries with a loud voice to the four angels. So it's very specific. He's talking to those that you and I couldn't shout that loud, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Wow. That's the assignment. And that word hurt there, literally, another word that would fit really well is the word harm. They're not to harm, not just hurt. You can punch me in the shoulder, it'll hurt my arm and I'll get a bruise, but you could harm my arm if you broke it off. So he's really telling them, you're not going to do anything yet. Saying, harm not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees. Okay, so they've been created for this. They've been there standing for this. Now, what are they going to do? They're not going to do anything. So there must be a hierarchy among the angels. And this one has a voice that, well, maybe we can get some singing lessons from him, huh? He talks to four guys in four parts of the planet at the same time, 25,000 plus miles around the circumference. So how far is he shouting? Four ways, 6,250 miles, we'll say. Wow, I'd like to do that sometime, especially when my dog runs off with the car keys. I saw another angel, and he had a message. Don't hurt the earth, the sea, or the trees until, and once this is over, your assignment, then you can do your job. Till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. I want you to underline that. Until we've sealed the seal of God in the servants of our God in their foreheads. Around the country, I'm preaching chapter 7. If it's a church that has me two nights, I'll do chapter 8. I can do 9 and 10. They're all together for revival. But in chapter 9, he says, I want you angels to go through Jerusalem. And he saw one angel that had an inkwell on his belt with a pen. And he said, you, I want you to go through the city and mark everybody's forehead with the mark of God if they love him. Now in Revelation, people are marked in their foreheads if they don't love God, so they can buy and sell. The mark of the beast, it's called, right? So now we see the same picture when judgment comes in the New Testament, that we see the judgment from Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel in the Old Testament. So this guy has a special calling. And he says, until we. So we, words unspoken, is telling us there's more angels that have this assignment to reach that many people. Saying, hurt not the earth. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. They were sealed 144,000. 144,000. Of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, number three, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, four were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali, number five, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. The seventh tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi, number eight, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed, that's 10th tribe, sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Joseph, number 11, were sealed 12,000. And finally, of the tribe, the youngest one of Benjamin, were sealed 12,000. So look how articulate he is there. He names all 12 tribes by name, and he gives the same number. And when you multiply 12 times 12,000, you end up with the total 144,000. So he just gave us a math test. But he didn't test us, but he's speaking to us. Now let me point this out to you. This is called a genealogy in today's language. This is a genealogy from a family that had 12 sons, and the Old Testament is pretty much all about them. Isn't that interesting? There's a genealogy, but to have a genealogy today, you have to have DNA. They only discovered DNA in your lifetime. Okay, so we don't have DNA, but we can go to Ancestry.com. They didn't have Ancestry.com in the first century when this was written. They didn't have computers. They didn't have anything. But yet, heaven has the greatest computer anywhere. It's the Lord's mind. And he lays out things for you. And if you've damaged your mind, be assured, God can restore it 100% times 100%. Trust him. He will heal you. The flashbacks, the repercussions of whatever happened, they'll go away. Just let them go. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. It is your right to have a healed and a sound mind. It's a thief, a robber, and a murderer that comes to steal, named Satan, that has ripped you off. But Jesus paid that price so you could be made whole again. Will you let him? Yes? Let him. He will. He'll make you a new creature through everything. And it's interesting, first century didn't have the ability to do this, but somebody kept track. And so you and I don't have the ability to look after everything and run the world. But as far as our life is concerned, he's keeping track of it all for us. So go slowly and enjoy this world you live in. After this, here we are, Meditata. After that was all finished, I beheld a great mountain, which no man, a great multitude, which no man could number. But he just numbered 144,000. So there's words without speaking that we know that man could come up with a number of 144,000, but whatever this number is beyond godzillions. We have no idea how many people, but it's a lot more than 144,000. And who are these people? A great multitude, which no man could number. They are of all nations and kindreds and people and languages. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." Now that might have been a loud voice, but it sure is localized compared to that angel that could speak to four angels in four different places of the planet at the same time. So here they are, people. And all the angels, verse 11, all the angels stood round about the throne, about the elders, about the four living creatures. They fell before the throne on their faces, and they worshiped God. That's what they're doing. And you and I should be doing it all day long. Look, it's so accurate. Here's the words that they use. And I think it's about 6 points of the highlight of this worship that you might want to look at when you sing a song. Just look at their heart is in their words. The Bible says, from the lips proceed the abundance of the heart. Here's what they're worshiping about the Lord. Saying, "Amen." So they're agreeing to everything in heaven at that point. Blessing and glory and wisdom. That's three things. Thanksgiving, 4. Honor, 5. Power, 6. And might, 7. What about it? Be unto God forever and ever. Amen. That's eternity. And what they're saying here is, everything my eagle strived after in this world, whatever it was with my pride, I don't want anything to do with me. All those things that I'm told from childhood till college, till business world, whatever, those are the things that we grasp for. We try to climb the ladder. We try to be better than. We try to have clothes and gold necklaces and chains and watches and cars and electric this and electric that. We're trying to be better than people. And that isn't what life is about, but that's what we're told it's about. These are all the things listed right there, pretty much, that say they all belong to God. We surrender ourselves to God. Are you willing to surrender it all to God? Are you struggling maybe tonight, a few of you? Because God would sure be happy if you just let go and let Him. You'll be totally at peace when it happens. I know what the struggle is. I've been there myself. But these people, these angels, them worship a great multitude. Couldn't even come up with a number. They're all saying the same thing. And the word amen means, may it be so, just as you've spoken. And I think it's great when you can surrender to God and let God be totally in charge. One of the elders, now this is a key to what's going on in heaven. This is a key for your Bible study. Now look and see if you can find it before I make a comment. Verse 13 and 14. This is a key, and it'll show that your mind is working in a new way. And I'm taking my time here to emphasize that so you can appreciate it when you come to it before I tell you. One of the elders, now another number, single, there's a lot of elders and angels and living beasts, but one of them, he has a mission too, just like you do, answered, saying unto me, now this is, he's speaking to John, the apostle John. The angel turns to John and says, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from?" That's the question. "And I said," John the Apostle, "I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest." And literally that is, I don't know, you know. I don't know who they are or where they come from. And John says, I don't know, sir, you know. "And he said to me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." That's who they are. Do you realize they're not the church? People will be saved in the great tribulation. Could be your brothers and sisters, your cousins, your mother, your father, people you worked with. You see, John is the Apostle John who walked with Jesus by the Sea of Galilee and saw the miracles, saw Lazarus raised from the dead, saw Jesus hanging on the cross, saw the Lord after he came out of death in the tomb, checked him out, listened to him, and he was one of the first leaders of the body of Christ, and he knew who the Christians were. He just read chapter 2 and 3 that was seven letters to the seven known churches in Asia at that same time. He was on the Isle of Patmos, you remember, a little volcanic island in the Mediterranean, because he was ostracized by the leader of Rome, and he was imprisoned there. He knows the church, but he didn't know these people, because the church is in heaven, and these are the people I want your heart to be broken over. We're related to them somehow. I don't know who they are or how we're related, but I think without you interceding, they're lost. But we see right here a number more than any man could say will come through the great tribulation, and people say, how can I believe in an angry God? Well, you ever get angry? Now, what do you get angry over? Stupid stuff. Somebody took your parking spot. Somebody bought that last dress on the rack. Somebody got to the gas pump before you. You know, we get angry over stupid stuff. He's angry because most of these people at this time that are left behind, once the church is gone, are the devil's children. But still, some of the people that he's calling, he's going to love them. Therefore, are they before the throne of God? This is why they're in front of God's throne. Why? These are they which came out of the great tribulation. They've washed their robes, made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So they probably were beheaded, as we'll see in coming chapters, for those that would not take the mark of the beast would be beheaded. He that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. Now look at this next to the last verse, 16, and we'll stop here. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Verse 17. For the Lamb which is in the middle of them, or the midst of the throne, shall feed them, shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. This is beautiful, because why would it say they'll never be hungry again? Because in the great tribulation we looked, it would take 2 days work, a denarii, to get just the elements to make a loaf of bread. So starvation is going worldwide. Second thing is that they would not thirst anymore. We're going to see here that as these angels stop the wind from blowing on the sea, imagine being in the South Pacific in the middle of the summer with no breeze blowing and you're in a sailboat. You're going to fry to death out there. So he's exposed. These people are exposed to the torture. Part of it is the boils that are going to come, we're going to read about, that will come on the people that are in the tribulation, because all of our ozone and the protections that man has destroyed around the earth are going to expose people's skins to cancers and things that we don't even know about at this point, probably. The third thing is, neither shall the sunlight on them nor any heat. The fact that the sunlight catches my attention, because that would be speaking from a human point of view. So where are they? They're inside his throne room for eternity. And they're serving him and worshiping him. You have an assignment for eternity to discover God's love. And I imagine we're going to see creations that we have no idea about. And some of you will be mayors and governors and presidents, and you'll be loving millions of people and have gifts and powers to help people that are in their new bodies. But then, no heat. Now, you hear about climate control, but we have no idea of what's really coming. But they're talking about it now that it's snowing in Paris. They know that they're wrong. And in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 47, it says, the earth languishes under its inhabitants. That's what's going on, not global warming. We have filled the earth. It's languishing. It's going, oh, groaning because of all of our sewage and our plastic. They got acres and acres of plastic floating out in the Pacific Ocean from all the stuff we throw out of our garbage cans. And it's killing fish and stuff like that. Now, I think for these people that weren't members of the church, they suffered. Now, I've spent one summer in the 1970s in Eastern Europe when the communists controlled everything. And you would have lost your house, your apartment. You would have lost a job if you had one. If you had a car and could afford gasoline in any of those communist socialist countries, and you had a Bible, let alone be caught with a guy like me from America giving you free Bibles, you'd lose it all. And I met people that sacrifice to come 3, 4, 5 hours to sit for 12 hours just to write and to read so they could make copies of the scripture and they could feast on it every day. That's why I say, carry your Bible with you. Take notes, because our day is very close as a people. It's all going to be gone. And you'll say, why didn't I? Could it be you're going to be tested and you'll turn from the Lord? That could be some of the people that we see here in this chapter. They're still strong-willed, still going to have it their way. Who needs you? Where were you when I needed you? We can come up with all these stupid things that we do. The night my brother was killed, I was 15 years old. And I remember walking out of our little 200-square-foot, two-bedroom apartment, my mom and my other brother, and I looked up to heaven and I shook my fist and I said, if you're up there, I hate you, and I'll fight you my entire life. Well, here I am. You know who won that battle. Huh? Yeah. All right. So before we go home, I want you to be open that the Holy Spirit wants to work wonders in your mind and in your heart, and in your memory, and in your life. He has nothing against you. He's not mad at you. He's not angry with you. He's not disappointed in you. You don't surprise him when you goof up. He knows everything about you. Give him a chance to simply love you. He has a whole kingdom that he's created, the Bible says, that he could turn it over to you. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places are there for you, it says in Ephesians chapter 1. Everyone that God has, they belong to you. And for not jumping in and taking it, it would be like me telling you that Jerry Brown just won the California lottery and he won $280 million and he wants to give each one of you $10 million. But you say, no, I don't want that. I don't need that. Nah, keep your money. Why would you turn God down? Don't. You're going to be so filled with his joy. Just let it happen. We're going to stand right now. We're going to take communion. And we're going to remember the body of Jesus Christ and his blood that was shed for our sins. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege for us to love other people and be loved by them. And it's a privilege for us to do as they did in the first century, way before there was DNA or Ancestry.com or computers. They laid hands on people and they sent them forth in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're doing the same thing. And it's that power that comes from heaven in answer to what we're doing. It is like that one angel talking to four angels 6,200 miles away in each direction. And it's nothing for you to hear us because you're here with us. That's a great thing for your presence. May you bless this team as they assemble and they go back to Florida. It's a long haul. It's a long haul back. And they got lots of duties when they come back here. But we pray for all those people that are graduating and for this new work that's been done, Crystal River, Florida. That you would multiply that. Florida is a deathbed of illegal drug usage. Mm-hmm. And from Tallahassee to Miami and everything in between, we're asking that you turn for Christ. We'll save, for your name's sake, tens of thousands.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And you'll repair thousands and thousands of marriages.
Yes, Father.
You'll restructure brain cells and minds that have been tweaked.
Yes.
Hearts will be softened and tender in your arms. Lord, bless those families there. As we can sense right now the love you have for them like you do us.
Thank you, Lord.
So bind this base with that.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.